My name is Roy, and I'm one of the elders here, if you're here for the first time and don't know who I am. And it's my privilege to bring God's word to you and to myself this morning. And I thank Norman for leading us in that first part of the service. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life, his death, and his resurrection. And we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And we pray that as we continue now together, we might know that you are speaking to us, that you will, by your Spirit, just open our hearts and meet us where we are so that we might come to the place where you want us to be and that we might know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our focus this morning is on honouring your parents as an adult. A few weeks ago, Richard spoke to us, Richard, our assistant pastor, spoke to us about honouring your children. And he said that was a bit like doing heart surgery. Well, for me, this topic this morning is a bit like doing brain surgery. As I thought about it, I realised it is such a complex subject, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever untangled a ball of wool or a piece of string, a long piece of string that is really knotted up. Because if you have, you'll know that it takes patience. I like undoing knots. Margaret will say, oh, cut it. And I say, no, I want to undo it. Because I like to just find that little loose bit, or find that little end, and you pull it a little bit, and it comes away a little bit, and then, no, it's not that one, but actually, it's loosened this one. Yeah, so you pull that a little bit, and eventually, with a lot of patience, and a lot of concentration, and some time, you find it actually undo the knots, and the string. Our topic's a bit like that this morning. The Bible says in Exodus, the fifth commandment, it says, honour your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And in Deuteronomy, where Moses repeats the law, we have this. Honour your father and mother so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Somebody said there are two certainties in life, death and taxes. I've discovered the third. We're all alive. Pretty obvious, isn't it? But we are actually all here. We've all been born. We all have parents. And each of them has their own individual history. They have their own story. And our topic this morning might well prompt you to reflect on your own relationship with your parents, as it has me as I prepared. Now for some, that will be a very pleasant experience. For others, it may be very painful. It may be unpleasant. It may be a difficult thing to consider. But I want to tell you that there is hope. There is hope. And the hope comes from God. The hope comes through his word and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the work of his Holy Spirit in us. God is for you. He is not against you. He is for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he wants you to know it. He wants me to know it. As you know, we can choose our friends, but we can't choose our families. But the commandment of God is that we should honour our parents, and it applies to all of us. In fact, all of his commandments apply to all people at all times and in all places. And when we look at relationships, particularly relationships in the family and in the home, we realise there are many opportunities to be misunderstood, to misunderstand, many opportunities to offend and to be offended. Much tolerance is required. And so I ask you to practice that with me this morning, because I know I will not cover all the topics and all the aspects of this vast subject. I suspect many of us will know children born and raised in the same families by the same parents and raised in the same way. But one child goes this way and another child goes this way. As children, as they grow, have more freedom to make their own choices. We all have freedom as adults to make our own choices, and we grow into that. But for some people, family life can be very confusing. It can be distressing rather than a building. It can be a place of rejection rather than rejoicing. And for some people, TLC, which we often use as an abbreviation for tender loving care, can be traumatic, life-sapping conflict. Those are the circumstances in which some children are raised. In the family, children change, they grow older. Hopefully they grow wiser too. Parents also change. We grow older, and hopefully we sometimes grow wiser. None of us, however, have all the answers. We just do not have all the answers. You probably heard the story of a man of 21 reflecting that when he was 18, his father knew absolutely nothing. But when he got to 21, he realized in the last 3 years his father had learned an awful lot and was very wise. When we were born, we came into a world which we did not know. We came into a world with a blank canvas. And although we could not articulate it in these words, we had some big questions. Where am I? I was in the dark, somebody switched the lights on. What am I doing here? What purpose do I have in this place? Who am I? Am I loved and wanted? The home is such an important place for newcomers into this fallen world that God has much to say in the Bible about the structure of the home. Primarily one man, one woman, committed to each other for life. And in that covenant commitment, children are to be raised and to grow so that they know something of the love of God, his mercy, his grace, his boundaries, his principles, to learn of God himself. The parents, one man, one woman, leaving and cleaving so that they can give structure and hope to this new life. It's a place where children can learn about love. I want to continue just to consider some of those aspects and the requirements placed on children now so that we can set the scene to consider the commandment in the light, or to consider our commandment to honour our parents in the light of that. We can't take it out of context. You see, in many ways, parents represent God to children. They don't say it like that, but they look to the parents to provide for them, to guide them, to set boundaries for them. Help them make sense of the world in which they live. We are to honour them. The Bible says, each of you must respect his mother and father. Now, honour, one commentary I looked at, which was quite helpful, said that honour means much more than just acknowledging their existence. It includes a dutiful submission to their authority and a loving provision for their needs. In practical terms, that may mean providing for them in their old age, making sure they are adequately cared for when they can no longer look after themselves. A lovely summary of this word honour. We're to honour our parents. We are to obey them. In Ephesians, we read that children, obey your parents. Small children, young children, are to go when their parents tell them. They're to come when they call them. And they're to do what they're told by their parents. We're to submit to them, accept their authority and their position. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, moreover, we have all had human fathers who have disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more then should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? But we know, particularly those of us who have been parents, that we as humans exercise both good and bad discipline. Sometimes we only carry out discipline when our children irritate us. You may have experienced that as a child. Couldn't do right for doing wrong. You're standing in the wrong place. You never got it right, no matter how hard you tried. Couldn't quite meet the expectations of your parents. We are to look up to our parents for advice and counsel, to hear them, to benefit from their experience. We are to look after them, particularly in their old age or when they are vulnerable. We're trying to be very friendly towards our two sons and daughters-in-law at the present time, as old age gradually gets a bit closer. But do you remember Jesus, when he was on the cross, saw his mother and John standing next to her, and he said, dear woman, here is your son. And to John, here is your mother. He wanted to ensure that Mary was looked after. What a good example for us. I've said that all commandments apply to all people for all time and in all places. But if we consider the time when they were first given, it might help us to see something more of their importance. The people of Israel, or the Hebrews, had been rescued by God from Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land. They would have to take it by force, driving out the nations who occupied it. So it was important that they had good structure in their new free community. And the commandments of God reflect who he is and the way that his boundaries and his rules, his principles, will enable the families that have been freed from slavery to live and to grow and to develop in this new land. Nations need structure, communities need structure, and so do families. And families are the bedrock of life and society. Israel's stay in the promised land was to be based on the morality and fear of God as expressed in the home. In Deuteronomy, we read this. If you become corrupt, you will quickly perish from the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? Keep his commandments which I am giving you today, said Moses, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that it may you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. Moses said afterwards that, take to heart all the words that I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey them. They are not just idle words. They are your life. By them you will possess. You will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. But something has gone and had gone badly wrong. Beginning with Adam and Eve, we read of how man, including you and me, and our parents, have failed to walk in obedience to God. We can read of God's ideals, we can read of his requirements and his expectations, his commandments and his promises, but something within each of us acknowledges that things are not as they should be. We know we live in a fallen world, and it can be very hard to find our way out from under the rubble. We're kept alive in a pocket of air by hope. Maybe we can just hear the faint sound of someone calling out and believe that someone is trying to reach us with some good news, to rescue us. We're encouraged to hold on. And although the way out may be dark and with some risk, we long for fresh air and the light of life. We read God's word, honour your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It's so simple on the face of it, isn't it? So simple a command. But like me, you might find doubts, or you might have doubts, and realise that it raises all sorts of questions. Perhaps as you look below the surface of your own life, there are questions, there are aspects of life, aspects of your relationship with mum and dad, or your caregivers, which have caused you distress. That you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honour your father and mother. When I was in Sierra Leone in November last year, I stayed with a family, one of these extended families. But Emma and Anthony had there were two lovely younger boys. They had other children, but the two younger boys were great. Joshua and Paul. Joshua was about here, Paul was about here. I think he was about 14. And they were lovely, lovely lads. They were gentle. They were kind. They were thoughtful towards me. They carried my bag. Perhaps because I was a white man, I don't know. Let me carry. Me carry. They were so kind, they were so gracious. They were the sort of lads that any parents would be proud of. I helped Paul with his homework a couple of times. And he was very grateful. In January of this year, I had an email from a friend in Sierra Leone to say that Paul had died because of malaria. Now, he was a lad who honoured his father and mother. He respected them. But his days were not long in the land that he was given. His days were not long on planet Earth. I don't understand that. What I do understand is that we don't have a linear relationship with God. We can't say a prayer here and God does that, so we pray another prayer here and then God does that and so on. It's not like that, is it? If it's like that for you, do please come and talk to me afterwards, because I'd love to know. But it's not, is it? For most of us, we say a prayer and we hold on. And sometimes God does something which is amazing. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. And we say another prayer and the answer seems slow to come. Families are complex, aren't they? And each family has its own dynamic. Here are three situations I want you to just consider briefly. You probably know the story. You may have even seen the film. A boy born into a privileged family had a stammer. Has everyone seen the film? I won't go on. But he had everything, didn't he? Everything that you would expect materially was given to him. Except that his father refused to let him, or made him speak without a stammer, and insisted that he stop stammering. I also discovered that he was left-handed, and his father made him write with his right hand. Did not allow him to be an individual. And so he grew up with real difficulties. This is a story about a boy named Adam. Adam was born in the Midlands. I'm from the Midlands. You may not be able to tell, but I am. Some people thought it was South Africa, but it's not. Adam was born in the Midlands. His father was named Darren. He was 20 when Adam was born. Darren had a relationship with a girl named Cheryl. In 94, shortly after Adam was born, Darren and Cheryl split up. Adam stayed with his mother. 1 year later, Darren becomes unemployed. 1 year later, Adam is now 18 months old. His mother's not looking after him, so he goes to live with his father. Darren takes his son back to live with him again. Between 96 and the year 2000, Darren has three different partners. Adam started school in Wensfield, which is the town where Margaret was born. And he went to school in Walsall, which is the town where I went to school. This was from the newspaper, so it sort of struck chords with me. Then he started a new school in Walsall. Then he started a new school in South Wales. Then he started another new school. And then he was six. Then they came back to the Midlands and he went to school again in Walsall. Went to school in Wollenhall, which is where I was born. But by the time he was seven, he'd had seven new schools. He'd been suspended eight times. And he was now facing expulsion from his current school. The relationships that his father, Darren, had had would make it difficult, wouldn't it, for this lad to honour your father and mother. How could he do it? It would be very difficult. On the other hand, by contrast, I saw on the TV not long ago a young lad who had leukemia. He was about 9 or 10, and he began to harm himself. He even pulled out his fingernails. And then he started to pull out his hair. The drugs were not... He was reacting to the drugs. He started to pull out his hair. And his father realised that, and his mother, that if he continued to do that, if and when his hair began to grow again, it would not grow evenly. So his dad, and this was on TV, said, that they'd got a little video of this, said to him, "Son, how about you shave my head and I shave yours?" So he gave the son his electric clippers, and the son and then the father did his son's head. A contrast, isn't there? That boy would grow up with a great respect, I'm sure, for his dad. It would be something for them to have in common. Remember when we did this? What love and care the father showed to him. And that love and care in response to the causes, I'm sure, in some children, or adults rather, in many adults, that desire to look after their parents. Because parents do change, some become ill. Some parents get to the stage where they don't even recognize their children. And I think that must be awful. When the parents have dementia or Alzheimer's. And the children faithfully look after their parents for years, perhaps. Making sure they're treated with respect and dignity. Honor your parents. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. But over the years, I have counseled many people, hundreds of people, and many of them have had issues related to their childhood, to their parenting. Now, those issues can arise through neglect or abuse or being put down or not being valued. Some have not known their birth parents. On the other hand, some have been smothered, not being able to make any decisions of their own, feeling very limited. So when they grow as adults, life is very hard for them. What can I do? How can I make my own choices? And if we had a continuum of good and bad experiences of parenting or the moments of our birth, we realise that if we look beyond here, beyond our own experience, life for many is dreadful. Dreadful. Many children orphaned by AIDS, famine or war. Some children have been conceived when their mothers have been raped. In one maternity hospital in Peru, I read that 90% of the young mothers aged between 12 and 16 have been raped by their fathers. Honour your father and mother, so that it may go well with you in the land that I am giving you. In a recent report on TV, we saw a mother, I think it was in Colombia. No, it wasn't, it was in the Far East. Sitting with tears in her eyes and telling the reporter that she'd had to sell her oldest daughter into prostitution. That was the only way that she could support the rest of her family. Extreme cases, aren't they? Extreme situations. But how can they honour their father and mother? Something has gone wrong. Despite in the positive encouragement in the Bible for parents, there are many examples there of families that did not follow God's instructions about family life. They did not do their best in family life. Abraham was one when he lied. David didn't challenge Amnon when he had raped his sister. Eli didn't deal properly with his sons. And things were further complicated by the tradition that built up over the years in the Jewish leaders and teachers. They said to the people that if you put something aside for God, well, if you've put something aside to look after your parents, well, actually, you can give that to God. God's more important than this. But what they then handed over did not find its way into the synagogue, into the temple. So the tradition was built up that they could actually ignore the commandments. So how can we reconcile our experiences or behaviour with any of God's commandments? I have had connections with the Old Door Manor for many years, and I've got a copy of the resident's handbook here. Not easy reading. This should be enough to put you off trying drugs and alcohol. mentioned. Yes, it should. But very early on in the program, the residents are required to begin to deal with all problem relationships, particularly family. This will normally involve at least making contact by letter or phone call. Our parents will have got something wrong. All of us as parents will have got something wrong. For some people, there will be a lot of things that have been wrong in their childhood. But there is hope. I've just started reading this book. It's about a missionary to Burundi, a landlocked country between Tanzania and Rwanda. Lots of awful things happened there. And he says, yet in the darkest places, the light shines brightest. Despite all the grim statistics and stories, God's biggest story continues to be played out in the lives of an ever-increasing number of people. These people have been lied to, deceived, promised much, and ultimately let down, but have still experienced for themselves the undeniable reality of God's powerful personal intervention in their lives. And it's that intervention of God in our lives that can transform the darkest of situations into a place of hope. A place where we can actually find our way out from under the rubble. Where we can begin to find a way of honouring our parents. God knew us all when we were formed in the womb. Shall I knew your days before you were formed. God knows us, and he is for us. And the pivotal point of all this for me has to be the cross, where Jesus came, gave his life for us, and God raised him from the dead, poured out his Holy Spirit, that we can have hope. The point has to be the cross. That place where we can find peace with God, peace with other people, and peace with ourselves. We have an empty cross here. And that's good, isn't it? That we don't have a figure of a man on there. It's empty. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And he can help us in our most difficult times. See, Anthony and Emma in Sierra Leone and Paul's brothers and sisters hold on to the fact that God loves them despite their circumstances, despite their difficulties. John, in his first letter, writes this: how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Dear friends, now that we are children of God, and what we are will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has his hope purifies himself just as he is pure. See, we can hang on to God, knowing that he hangs on to us. We can know more of the kingdom of God as we submit ourselves to him. In the knowledge of his love for us, we can face the difficult relationships. We can face the pain in our own heart. Physical pain reminds us that something needs to be addressed. Pain in our heart reminds us also that something needs to be addressed. Something can be dealt with. It can be dealt with in Christ. The past and the present and the future are all in his hands. And as we look to him, we can address and face the most difficult of circumstances. In Isaiah, the prophet writes, can a mother forget the baby at her breast? God speaks through Isaiah, can a mother forget a baby at her breast? The answer in us rises and says, no, of course you can't. But we know that sometimes you can. Sometimes children are treated with complete disdain by their mothers. The rest of the verse continues. And God says, if she can forget you, I can't. See, I've engraved your names on the palms of my hands. This ball of wool is complicated. This ball of wool is really tangled. I haven't, in a sense, begun to unpack this. But my prayer is that for anyone here this morning who has difficulties in relationship to their parents, for whatever reason, will be open to what the Holy Spirit might want to say to you and in you and help you in that relationship. You see, as we take the kingdom of God into different places, workplace, community, wherever, we, as a sense, carry the light of the world. Jesus says, you're the light of the world, didn't he? You're the salt of the earth. We carry something of that light. There is hope, despite the most difficult of circumstances. There is hope, and there is light, and that light is found in Jesus Christ. I'm going to hand back to Norman now. But I pray that God will bless you. And if there's anything that I have said that has been unhelpful, I pray you will forget it. But that which God may have just brought to, made you think about, it may have been something that, nothing that I've said, you may have been miles away. I was on street pastor duty last night. I didn't get home till 3:30. And I thought that if, you know, sometimes people go to sleep during the sermon. I was going to ask you if you saw me falling asleep, just to give me a shout. But, just I pray that God will have used something of this morning just to touch your hearts if there are difficult times. Norman.